My simple solution to the problem was remove people from the scene and help them feel safer.
In response to attacks against Asian Americans, Maddie Park raised over $250,000 to donate cab rides to the Asian community.
There is so much more work to be done. We really need to come together and tackle this issue as a community.
Support the Asian community. Learn how at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hey, it's Zuko and Kayla from The Wake Up Call. Enjoy your podcast, but when you're done, don't forget about us. We have a radio show. We try to bring a smile to your face every morning.
We also talk to some of the hottest country stars of today, and we like to share some good news with That's What I Like.
Because Lord knows that's hard to find. When you're done podcasting your podcast, listen to us at 92.3 WCOL.
Set your preset on your radio right now, and don't forget you can listen to us online on the iHeartRadio app.
There's this feeling right when you do it. It feels like you're almost about to fall, but then you don't. And you can just feel the momentum carrying you around, like being a little kid on the playground when you just like throw yourself at like the jungle gym and you go like, wee, you're out in a circle. So it's kind of that feeling, but yeah, a little more controlled.
Welcome to another Aussie Confidential. I'm your host, Eugene S. Robinson. And today we got something special. We got Renee Wu. Now, you know, stories come to us a lot of different ways. I love how this came to me via somebody else who said, hey, at Microsoft, I was working with this genius engineer. And one day she stood up at a meeting and said, fuck this, I'm leaving, become an international pole dancer. Renee Wu.
Sexy is something that is, like, everybody has a vision in their head right. of what sexy means to them.
Right.
And there might be overlapping pieces amongst right. different people's definitions, but there's also many differences. Mm. And I think sexy as a feeling, as like a theme, as a concept is very, very vague and it's very big and it can be many different things. So yeah, I was working at Microsoft for a bit and I was pretending to be an engineer.
So, but what did you get your degree in?
I got my degree in physics.
Okay.
So I was
master's,
like...
Master's, PhD?
I got my undergrad in physics and then I have a master's technically in applied physics.
Right.
I had started a PhD program and then I quit the PhD program. Because
where? What school?
At Stanford.
Okay. All right.
So bachelor's at Caltech.
Okay.
And then... PhD, ended up as a master's at Stanford, uh-huh. which is how I ended up in this area in the first place,
got it.
Why I moved here.
Where'd you go to high school?
Hong Kong.
Ah.
So I grew up in Hong Kong.
Okay.
I went to one of those international schools.
Uh-huh.
So it's like they took an American school and transplanted it into Hong Kong.
Ah,
so I was there from kindergarten all the way through high school.
Okay.
Which is why I speak English as an American.
Okay.
Because like I was surrounded by a whole bunch of expats.
But you also speak Cantonese,
yeah, so
Mandarin,
I speak Mandarin because my family's from Taiwan, and so right. we spoke Mandarin at home, and right. then I picked up Cantonese from just living in Hong Kong for 15 years.
All right.
I was good at math and science growing up,
right.
and so I assumed that I like it. Because you know when you're little, you like the things you're good at, and you never stop to think about why you like it. You're just like, I'm good at it, therefore I must like it.
Yeah.
That just carried me all the way through till you know, year one of grad school when I realized, wait, don't like. And I realized, yeah, since I quit, don't miss it. I started teaching pole around when I started working at Microsoft.
Got it.
Because, yeah, my two jobs picked right. up at the same time.
Right.
And so by the time I quit Microsoft, I'd been teaching for a while, but that was still when I had no real plan to have pole be my right. like actual job.
Right.
Like pole was still just a hobby. It was a hobby that, like, you know, I got paid to teach other people.
How did you get into it?
So I tried pole because I was at Stanford mm-hmm. and looking for some form of dance to do because mm-hmm. I've always been a dancer.
Right.
And so when I Googled
Is that what you did, like, in high school instead of sports? Or
I did dance and gymnastics, okay, basically from the ages of, like, 6 onwards.
Okay.
All the way through the end of high school.
Okay.
So I've always been dancing, and I kept dancing all the way through college. Mm-hmm. And so when I moved up here for Stanford, I was like, okay, I need to find myself a dance studio.
Right.
When I Googled dance studios near Stanford,
right,
Potential popped up.
Okay.
And because it is one of the few places with adult classes,
right,
that is within like a half hour radius of Stanford.
Okay.
And so I was like, I'd never done pole before, but I was like, why not? I'll try it.
Right.
Came, loved it from like the very first second, mm-hmm, and I just never left. But yeah, so I was at Microsoft, and then I decided that I don't want to be an engineer anymore. Because I was looking at my peers,
right,
and they all were excited about science. They were excited about the research they were doing, come up with new ideas and like the actual day-to-day process of it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, I am not like you guys.
Yeah.
And so.
So now when you left, did this create, were your parents cool, whatever? Or did you already have a job lined up?
No. So when I left, I was totally expecting my parents to freak out.
Mm.
Because, I mean... Yeah. Of course they would.
Yeah.
I'm a stereotypical Asian parent, right?
Yeah, right.
They were totally cool with it.
Uh-huh.
It was baffling, actually. I was like, wait, you guys are so okay right now.
Were they cool because you already had the job?
No, I had no job.
Okay.
So that goes into this funny thing is not from the U.S.,
right?
I was born in Taiwan. I was raised elsewhere.
Right.
And so I only came to college. So I was on a student visa.
Uh-huh.
And so then that brought up the other part of if I quit school, mm-hmm, bye-bye student visa,
right,
I need a way to stay in this country.
Right.
So I had been together with then boyfriend, now husband,
right,
for a couple years now. And like, right, we had already planned on getting married.
Right.
It was just kind of like, okay, so I know we were going to get married like 4 years later, but how about we do this now? Like, what about we get married like right now instead,
right,
of 4 years later?
He's so like, sure, next week. No, I mean now. Right, like,
so
right,
so
fucking now.
I get to stay,
right,
in this country.
Right.
I was honestly a little bit surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely expecting some kind of resistance or,
mm-hmm,
some questioning of like,
mm-hmm,
are you sure this is a good idea?
Right.
But they've been nothing but super supportive the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... what they tell me is that they see how much happier I am now versus like when I was in grad school, when I was working at Microsoft. And so seeing that helps reassure them that like I definitely made the right choice,
right.
Because they're like, yeah, you're a different person. You're a much happier person.
You're not miserable.
And this is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so like, even though you are now doing something that's very different than what we all expected, like this is good.
Yeah.
So the first move that I was ever taught how to do is called a roundabout or a dip spin. It's still my favorite move. And so what we start almost all beginners with, you just like hold onto the pole and you like make a little circle around.
And so one hand on the pole.
One hand on the pole, 1 foot on the floor. So you're not even in the area.
Right.
And you just like rotate big circle around the pole.
Right.
And you can just feel the momentum carrying you around.
Right.
And that feeling is just, it's so much fun.
Right.
And there's something about it that just like really clicked,
uh-huh,
and like resonated,
uh-huh,
within me,
uh-huh, uh-huh,
where I just felt like this is what I want to do.
Right.
And then, you know, it turned out that I was like reasonably good at it. And so I was like, now I'm here. I've never been shy about my body.
Mm-hmm.
Again, somehow, lucky enough, I didn't really grow up with those body image issues. And I think that is because
not the good parenting, maybe, or
good parenting. I think great coaches, because my gymnastics coaches.
Yeah.
There are a lot of gymnastics coaches who really push people, and a lot of ballet teachers, right, who really push their students of like, you're too fat, you need to be thinner. I was lucky that I had amazing teachers and coaches who didn't like put any of that on us when we were kids, and instead the focus was always on like what you can do, which is what we tell people here now, right? You focus on what your body can do instead of what it looks like. And I guess I've just been lucky that I've always grown up with that idea. And so to me, it's never been a big deal. So like when I started pole too, and you'll see this when people first start pole, they'll start with like clothes. And the first time you tell them like, you got to take those pants off, they're kind of like, are you sure? Or like the first time you like, you have to get rid of the shirt, are you sure?
Yeah, yeah.
Even some of our other instructors, they'll tell you like the first time they went to pole, they were like, oh no, I'm keeping all my clothes on. And now they're like, everything off, right? But like when I first started, like that wasn't like a hang up for me.
Yeah,
it was just
yeah.
like, I was like, oh, it's functional,
yep.
therefore I will do it.
Yep.
And so I think like when it goes on stage,
yep.
so long as it's functional, like
yep.
if nudity is important to the performance I'm
yep.
doing, it's
yep.
gotta do it. This is what it's gonna have to be.
So, lest you think that what happens at these competitions is very much what happens at the strip club, you're wrong. It's not. These things take a better part of a day, and they have poles that are kind of pinioned to the floor, huge stage, and a judging panel that's as unforgiving as any judging panel ever. And these are moves that a lot of times, if you're on a 16-foot pole or 16 feet up high off the ground on a pole, there's only one part of your body touching the pole, preventing you from plunging to your death below. So it is not without its risk. But to win, you have to be a combination of skillful, strong, graceful, all while making it look slick as snot.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
It's The Breakfast Club, the world's most dangerous morning show.
Hey!
Angela Yee is kind of like the big sister that always pokes you in the forehead.
That's not how it goes?
That's not how anything goes.
Yemi's really like a robot. One of the best DJs ever.
Believe that!
Charlamagne is the wild card.
And I'm about to give somebody the credit they deserve for being stupid.
I know, that's right.
What is wrong with you?
Listen to The Breakfast Club weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 106.7 The Beat. Columbus's real hip-hop and R&B.
Some expressions of sexy are easier to learn than others. And I think this is why you start, like what?
Tell me.
In terms of movements and like what movements convey as sexy, some movements are easier to learn on the body. Like for somebody who is new to dance, to some form of like physical expression, certain styles of movement will be easier for a beginner to pick up than other styles. To me at least, and this is just like my interpretation of it, sexy stems from confidence. And so it can be fast, it can be slow, it can be aggressive, it can be shy, but there is this underlying confidence and like the sense of contentment with yourself and like your own energy. And it's that when it's transmitted outwards that gets read as sexy. At Friday Foreplay, the unofficial motto of Friday Foreplay, right? Someone somewhere finds it sexy. Like no matter what you do, someone somewhere finds it sexy. There are some people who very much do truly believe, like in their own mind, that what they do has nothing to do with stripping, has nothing to do with strip clubs. To me, I'm glad to see that it seems like that's getting slightly less common. Those people still exist. There are still people out there. And I think that is like, yeah, in response or in reaction to the social stigma that's out there. Because even here, where most people are pretty chill with it, right? Like, I worked at Microsoft and nobody ever, like, questioned the fact that I did pole. They all knew. And hell, some of them had like looked at my videos. And nobody like looked down on me for it. Like nobody like made any remarks about it. Cause in the Bay Area, we're pretty lucky. People are pretty calm about this stuff. But even here, we have some students who worry about like, what do I tell my friends? What do I tell my family? Because they will tell their family and their family's not happy. Their family's not okay with it. And they go like, I can't believe you do that. And so I can see why.
Okay, so the use of the word that, what do they mean? What do you think they mean when they say
that? I think like for those people who have that impression, I think it is because they only have this mental image of pole in relation to sex work and stripping. And because they maybe haven't had very many interactions with sex workers of any form, they've made up this image in their head of what that seems to be to them. And unfortunately, as the case with most things, if you're just making up something in your head, you tend to assume the worst.
I think probably one of the most damaging things to the sport or to the endeavor had to be Chris Rock. Do you remember his routine where he was talking about contemplating being a parent and making the right parental choices? And he goes, you know, any choice that keeps your daughter off the pole.
Keep my baby off the pole.
It's things like that, right? Mm. That like feed into that impression where if you don't know, if that's your only context by which you've ever heard of pole, then of course you associate negatively with it because you have no reason not to.
Do you think that this in general has improved the quality of pole dancers in strip clubs? In other words, is it a neither fish nor fowl thing? Do you find, I'm wondering like how many people who actually do it.
Pole started in the strip clubs. A lot of the moves that we take for granted now were made up by strippers who were just, you know, at work doing their own thing. And they made up these things and they spread. And then, you know, now we officially teach them.
Yeah. But now it's gotten to the point where people are now talking about it. And they do this with new sports a lot of times. They talk about, well, should we get it in the Olympics? Mm-hmm. We're going to try to get it in the Olympics. And I'm feeling that there's this kind of, in a push to legitimize it, there is another push inside the community to like separate it from the strip club roots, right? To say, it was a strip club thing, but it's not, you know, there's no, and it feels to me like the truth is somewhere in the middle.
There's so much happening now. There's so many people who do pole now that like.
How many do you think?
Oh, I have no idea. You'll hear a lot of people say like, this is their therapy. Yeah. But like what they're seeking therapy from, I think that is where it differs from person to person. And for me, at least, that is part of why, like a big part of this for me is fostering the kind of community that encourages that, because this is that like safe, happy space you can go to where you can learn to feel good about yourself. You can learn to feel proud about yourself and be okay with that and not feel ashamed of like yourself, your body, your abilities. Like you don't have to try to hide and pretend that you're not as good as you are. You don't have to try to fake humility. Here we encourage people to be really confident and be like, yes, I know I am good. I know I am great. I know I'm beautiful. I know I am strong. And to be okay with that, because that's not something that women especially get a lot. There's a higher chance that like a lot of times, you know, when I meet somebody new and they ask what I do, and I tell them I own the pole and aerial studio, they go, oh yeah, I've heard of that. Or oh, I've seen that. Or it's like, oh, I've thought about maybe trying it. Or I know somebody who has tried it. And it's always easier when there's just more general awareness of what it is that you do, right? And so for sure, 10 years ago, very different story. Would have been much harder then than it is now.
Do you miss physics?
No.
Next up, next week, Javier Mendez. Who? What? Yeah, look, he is like the Bill Belichick of MMA, mixed martial arts. It runs a place called AKA, American Kickboxing Academy, the winningest fight gym like in the world. And we're excited to talk to him. You want to hear me fanboy out next week on Ozzy Confidential. Ozzy Confidential is produced by who else? Me, Eugene S. Robinson, and executive produced by Robert Kulos. And this episode was sound designed, edited, and mixed by Nick Johnson. For more Ozzy Confidential, check us out on ozzy.com. That's OZY.com/confidential.